Your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I wasn't quite sure, sitting in the front row, how many were behind me back there. It sounded good. It sounded like there was a great crowd singing. I'm glad that you're here tonight and trust that God blesses you as we look at His Word together this evening. Well, we've been doing a series in 1 Corinthians called Learning from a Worldly Church. On your handout there, it has that title. And the title of this evening's message is Blessed Power. Blessed Power. Let's ask God's help. Lord, as we come to your word tonight, we pray that you would open this word out to us. We pray that it would be real and relevant and life-changing. Since every time we come to the word, it is life-changing. We believe that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, Lord, we pray that we would leave here. And strangely, Lord, it's a continuation from this morning, even though I didn't know what Keith was going to be preaching on today. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to step out in faith and use our gifts for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I could tell you my vision for Central Mountains Baptist Church, and that would be helpful in many ways. But let me turn that around and ask you if you have any vision for this, your church. Are there any things that you would want to be different? Is there anything that you think should be better? What would you see as an ideal church? What needs to be done? If you think of what that ideal is, what needs to be done to reach that ideal? What does God want you to do personally to be involved in reaching toward that vision of an ideal church? How would you go about getting everyone on board? What challenges would you expect to face as you sought to get everyone involved, and how would you meet those challenges? Can you see that if I were to be the only one with a vision for this church, and praise God I'm not, but if I were the only one with a vision for this church, it wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't happen at all. Can you see that nothing much happens unless everyone of us is on board? Can you see why I desire every person that attends this church to be serving? We need to have a vision for Central Mountains Baptist Church. We need to have a burden for serving the Lord. We need to be using every talent and gift and ability that God has given us to the extension of His kingdom. When we all get on board with that, when we all get on board like that, we have revival. You may well ask, well, what was Paul's vision for Corinth? Didn't he want them to be a functioning body, reaching out to their community, building up one another, all to the glory of God? Certainly. And you can see how Paul has been moving toward that end as he's moved through 1 Corinthians. He's dealt with the issues that were in the church one by one, that they might be all that they should be as a church. He's looked at church fights in chapters 1 to 4. He's looked at immorality in chapter 5. He's looked at public disputes in chapter 6. He's looked at marriage and singleness in chapter 7. He's looked at our rights, idolatry, and love toward one another in chapters 8 through 10. And then in chapter 11, he started to look at church practice. And now he comes to spiritual issues in chapters 12 through 14. He especially emphasizes the difference between the gifts of the Spirit in chapters 12 and 14 and the fruit of the Spirit in chapter 13. As Paul discusses spiritual gifts in chapter 12, he tries to give them a vision for what they could be as a church, as a local church. And if they live that vision, they will see the blessed power of God at work amongst them. So tonight we consider spiritual gifts, but not in detail as we did when we looked at Romans chapter 12 in the morning services earlier this year. No, we're going to consider spiritual gifts in overview to give us something of a vision of what we could be and should be as a local church. If you don't have a clear idea of what we should be, I pray that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a help to you in being able to see that vision, that we too might know the blessed power of God working amongst us. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul emphasizes five spiritual realities. Five spiritual realities. The first spiritual reality that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 12 is the Spirit points to Christ. The Holy Spirit of God points to Jesus Christ. First, let's be clear who has the Holy Spirit and who does not have the Holy Spirit. Paul begins in chapter 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, and you notice the word gifts is in italics, meaning it wasn't there in the original. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So because that word gifts is not there in the original, the verse could be just as equally translated, now concerning spiritual things or concerning spiritual issues. So Paul talks about in chapter 13, the fruit of the Spirit, and chapter 12, the gifts of the Spirit, he's talking about more than spiritual gifts. So really, we could see verse 1 saying, now concerning the spiritual. Now concerning the spiritual, verse 2 continues, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. And being carried away to dumb idols is definitely a spiritual issue. Paul has already explained, if you flip back to chapter 10, and verse 19. What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather the things which Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. And so Paul makes it clear in that verse that following idols is being influenced by demons. So however you were led, in chapter 12 and verse 2, see that phrase, however you were led, is a reference to being led away by evil spirits. In contrast, the Corinthians themselves had now begun to be led by the Holy Spirit. Verse 3 says that, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Those who have the Holy Spirit confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead. Those who do not have the Holy Spirit in some way are critical of Jesus. That's what it says in verse 3. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Sadly, there were some in the Corinthian church who fitted this description of being critical of the Lord Jesus. And being critical of Christ in some way, they were announcing that they themselves were none of his. Therefore, there were unsaved amongst the Corinthian Christians. And some of these, sadly, seemed to be in leadership positions, or at least prominent amongst the body of Christ there in Corinth. And they were being influenced and being critical of the Lord Jesus. It would be very difficult for Corinth to go forward whilst the unsaved were prominent in some way in the church. Does this happen today? Absolutely. Now, we've had people attending this church for years who denied creation, denied miracles, denied the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They saw the Bible as a helpful spiritual book, but they did not see it as in veracity, the Word of God. Now, did we seek to influence them? Yes, we did. And as we got close to them, they left. But sadly, whilst these people were just attending here, and we were glad for them to attend, we were glad for them to be influenced by the Word of God, sadly, such people are in leadership in other churches in our own country. How sad is that? Men who do not know the Lord themselves, critical of the Lord Jesus, critical of the things that are in the Scriptures, in leadership positions. It's hard to be a functioning church if we're not a pure church. And some in Corinth were actually unsaved people. It's hard to be a functioning church if we're not a pure church, and especially if some of those unsaved people are somehow in leadership positions in the local church. People in church membership should be born again of the Spirit of God. I don't think any of you here would doubt that. People in membership should be born again of the Spirit of God. And so we're very careful in examining people that want to come into membership. Our constitution says, this church shall be composed of members who admit that they have contributed nothing to their salvation. They're saved by grace and have been baptized by immersion in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit following their confession of faith in Christ. All persons desiring to unite with this church shall meet with the pastor or pastors and shall be able to explain their salvation and its circumstances and subsequent Christian experience. So then, the Spirit of God, as we're looking here in verses 1 to 3, the Spirit of God points to Christ. The test is not what you say of the Holy Spirit, although that would be a test, but the test is what do you say of Christ? Verse 3 says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. What you say of Christ demonstrates whether the Spirit of God dwells in you or not. First, we must have born-again believers making up the body of Christ. That is foundational, and anything else in the Church of Christ is disaster. Let me say that again. Our vision should be for a pure church comprising born-again believers who have testified to their faith in baptism. Anything else lacks the blessed power of God. The second spiritual reality that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 12 is the Holy Spirit chooses the spiritual gift of every believer. The Holy Spirit chooses the spiritual gift of every believer. Yes, the Holy Spirit chooses the gift of each believer, but he does not work in isolation. As the Spirit of God works, of course the Father works and the Son works. Whenever the Spirit is working, the Father is working and the Son is working. So we pick it up at verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. So verses 4, 5, and 6 are parallel verses, kind of saying the same thing in different ways. Notice the change from Spirit in verse 4 to Lord in verse 5, and God in verse 6. So we see here Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all involved in choosing. Notice the change, from gifts in verse 4 to ministries in verse 5 and to activities in verse 6. So the Holy Spirit gifts a believer according to the service that he has in mind for him and the extent of the work that he has for him. So let's just go through those verses again. Verse 4, the word gifts is charismata. Verse 5, the word ministries is diakonia, deacon or service. And verse 6, the word activities is energema, the word from which we get our word energy, or work. The Holy Spirit gifts a believer according to the service that he has for him and then the extent of the gift. You understand that there are different extents of gift. Two people may have the gift of evangelism, but one might lead millions to Christ and the other one just lead dozens. And yet they both have the gift of evangelism. There are different extents of gift. The Holy Spirit gifts a believer according to the service he has for them and the extent of the gift according for the work that he has for them to do. So though each believer has a different spiritual gift, area of service and different extent of their work, it is the same Spirit who has pointed the gift in each case, the same Lord who has apportioned the ministry, and the same God who has determined the work. Point is, it is not the believer who decides these things. Further, verse 8 adds, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. It is the Spirit of God who chooses the spiritual gifts of each believer. And the Holy Spirit has chosen to give the gift of apostleship and the associated sign gifts for only one generation. That is his choice. That is not my choice. so that gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues are not extant today. Now, these spiritual gifts are apportioned out at the time of salvation. How do we know that? Because every believer has a spiritual gift, and no unsaved person has a spiritual gift, so they must come at the time of salvation. The believer does not even get a chance to ask for a spiritual gift. It's a done deal when he's saved. When he gets saved, he has that spiritual gift that is given. But the church as a whole might seek that new members are gifted in certain ways. Chapter 12 and verse 31 says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." You there is you plural, you the whole church. So Paul makes it clear in that verse that he is speaking to everyone, and he says, as a church, seek the best gifts, presumably by asking through prayer. When a pastor is praying for a Timothy to disciple, or someone in a ministry like Keith praying for a Timothy to disciple, he's in fact praying for a gifted man. Ideally, any Timothy should be meek and teachable, having a gift suitable for that particular ministry, meeting the qualifications of 1 Timothy chapter 3. But the point is that this, as far as this passage is concerned, he must be a gifted man. And he must be prepared to exercise his gift, developing that gift. In fact, when we pray for any ministry to be filled, we're praying for certain gifts. We're not just praying for a warm body. It's a disaster for a church to have somebody in a ministry who is not gifted for that ministry. It should be part of our vision for our church to have saved people exercising their spiritual gifts in service and work that is prepared for them by God. We can pray and ask, but in the end, it is God who does the choosing. And the way that God uses our local church depends on the way that God gifts our church. So therefore, we might have different ministries than other local churches and different emphases because of the way God has gifted us. Imagine everyone serving. How much would be accomplished for the kingdom of God? And then we would see God's blessed power. The third spiritual reality that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 12 is the Holy Spirit chooses the gift for the blessing of others. The Holy Spirit chooses the gift. Why? For the blessing of others. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, that is each Christian, for the profit of all. Every Christian has a gift. The manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7, is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, giftedness is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit indwelling. The gift is given not for the sake of the believer to whom it is given. The gift is given for the sake of the body of Christ, for the sake of others in the body. That's what verse 7 says. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Selfish, proud Christians want a showy gift. Humble Christians accept whatever gift God has given and use it in their service for others. Often having a gift means a lot of work. It's not necessarily a glamorous thing. We can think of some great Christians who are held up before other Christians worldwide, but often having a gift means a lot of hard work, a gift of mercy, a gift of encouragement. This means getting involved in other people's lives and working at it. Nor can the believer accept any acclaim for the exercise of his gift. The gift has been given by God for the benefit of the body. The power is of God and not us. Blessed power. We want this power of God. We don't want human service. We want God working through us as channels. The Corinthians were making the self-centered error of wanting the showy gifts for themselves. This is certainly not from God. It is the spirit of Simon the sorcerer. And I have the story printed there on your sheets. Acts chapter 8 and verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city, that's the city of Samaria, and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And they hated him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now the Holy Spirit hadn't fallen on them, and when the disciples, we'll pick it up at verse 16, for as yet the Holy Spirit, had fallen on none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, the apostles that had come up from Jerusalem. Verse 18, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you're poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. Now Simon liked his reputation as the great power of God, and he only wanted more of that. This self-centered motivation for spiritual gifts should not be part of God's people. No, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and the core of love is selflessness. Ministry should be done with godly motivation, not self-interest. My vision for us all includes a humble gratefulness for what gifts God has given to us, and an eagerness, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, to serve each other, that God may get the glory, and His blessed power will be released. The fourth spiritual reality that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 12 is the Holy Spirit chooses the gifts to complete the body. The Holy Spirit chooses the gifts. Why? To complete the body. This is the second reason. Yes, the Spirit chooses which Christian which gets which gift. This is number one, to build up others, and number two, to complete the body. That is, if there are already eyes and ears in the church, then God is going to give some hands and feet also, right? Different gifts to complete the body. We pick it up at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, yet one body. Many members, with different gifts, different service, and different extents of work. All of that is needed to complete the whole body of Christ. Verse 28 also adds, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? So the obvious answer to that is no, because if all were one, then we would not have a body. If we were to list the different spiritual gifts in this local church, we would find that there was a whole body of gifts. Not everyone is going to be a mouth. Not everyone is going to be an ear or an eye or a face. Now, I don't really need to illustrate this any further. Paul has used the illustration of a human body to explain that we need a whole body. One part doesn't make a body. The brain is incomplete without the heart, and the heart is incomplete without the brain. The hand brings food to the mouth, but it is not a fully functioning body. And so it is with us. Some of the gifts are exercised when we meet together on Sundays, in the morning, in the evenings, when we have Sunday school, special meetings. But many of the gifts are best exercised in daily life. We need the whole body functioning, and we need the whole body functioning every day. Body life doesn't occur just on Sundays. It's not like suddenly the body comes alive on Sundays and the rest of the week it lays dormant. Body life means everyone, every day, everywhere. Some churches get the idea, well, we're without a pastor. If we could just get a pastor who might be our mouth, we have all what we need. And the people in the church want to sit, perhaps maybe like watching a football game, watching the pastor perform, and they think that that's a body. A mouth does not make a body. Now, there's a few applications I'd like to make from this section. The first application, modern Christians have gotten the idea that church membership is a worldly concept, and they don't want to be any part of an organized church. On the contrary, we see from the scriptures that membership of the body of Christ is God's idea. It is God's plan that we be members of a local body of Christ. Now, in one sense, we automatically become members of the body of Christ when we trust Him as Savior. We automatically become part of the body of Christ. But in another sense, it has to be a choice to identify with a local body. Greater than 90% of references to the church in the New Testament are to local bodies of believers. It is an entirely scriptural concept to identify with a local body by membership. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, the most important way to find that gift is to start serving. Because I was a shy young man, I would have never guessed that my spiritual gift would involve speaking. I had to serve to discover my gift. And let me tell you, the first few times I started to speak, I made a mess of it. But God has been my help. Two other important clues. So you've got to start serving to discover your spiritual gift. And secondly, where do you have a heart burden? Because the God who gives the gift also gives the burden. And it's likely that He's going to burden you in areas where you have a spiritual gift. Now, I could take time developing that thought from the scripture, but just let me throw it out there for you tonight. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because in this passage, the third clue to your spiritual gift is the giftedness of the body. Your gift will be one to complete the body of Christ. If you are not exercising a spiritual gift, the gaps in ministry of this local church, and there are gaps, there's still other things that we could be doing, the gaps in the ministry of this local church may be indications of where your gift lies, because God is interested in a whole body. And so you may be gifted to do things that we're not already doing. That might be a clue. Serve, think what your burden is, think what areas in the church still need development. Third, crucial gifts are exercised during the week. Now, I've mentioned this already, but let me emphasize that body life is not just Sundays, not just in the meeting, but body life is every day, everywhere. Now, the gifts that need to be exercised during the week include the gift of encouragement. Who would like to get a phone call during the week when you're having a hard time with a word of encouragement? These need to be exercised during the week. Gift of wisdom. We all have decisions to make. God will gift some people in His assembly the ability to be able to advise and give wisdom. Gift of evangelism obviously needs to be exercised day by day. Probably in the church, that's where evangelism is exercised the least, because mostly we have believers who come to church. Gift of helps, gift of giving, gift of faith, gift of mercy, gift of hospitality. All these gifts are best exercised during the week, not just on Sundays. My vision for this church is attenders moving toward membership and every member in this church serving God, using their spiritual gift on a daily basis, being a blessing and a help to each other and impacting our community. I see us knowing and exercising our gifts because we're willing to serve. Do you see that as a great vision for a local church? Isn't that a biblical vision for God's people? If it's everyone, every day, everywhere, won't we see the blessed power of God working through us? The final spiritual reality that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 12 is the completed body is interdependent. The completed body is interdependent. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. In this local church, in this local body, there is no unnecessary believer. Every one of you is critical to the functioning of this body. Verse 22 continues, no, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, on these we bestow greater honour. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honour to that part which lacked it. Now, Paul uses three categories of believers in those verses. The first category is weaker versus stronger. The second category is less honourable versus honourable. And the third category is unpresentable versus presentable. Now, those weaker believers are those needing help. And obviously, they need to be ministered by those who don't need the help. Less honourable are those ministries that are behind the scenes, honourable in the sense of less upfront. So they're upfront ministries and they're behind the scenes ministries. Unpresentable are the more embarrassing members of the body. So those needing help, the Bible says, are necessary to the body. Verse 22, no, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. They're absolutely needed. And those who have behind-the-scene ministries are also served by those with upfront ministries. That's verse 23. And those members of the body which we think less honourable, on those we bestow greater honour. A great time is spent by those with upfront ministries serving those who have behind-the-scene ministries. And those that are embarrassing are served by others in the body to help make them presentable. Do we have any difficult people? Do we have any people that might be embarrassing? Yes, we do. Why? Verse 25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. May I say it again? The completed body is interdependent. We depend on each other. Verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Cut off a leg and the body will suffer. Cut out a heart and the body is going to die, though the heart is a behind-the-scenes ministry. Every part of the body is necessary and deserves the attention and help of other parts of the body. Difficult people may be embarrassing, but they cannot be neglected, though they be unpresentable. They need great attention so that there be no church splits. Paul says, so that there be no schism in the body. Nor can the body function one day a week and lay dormant the rest of the week. The interdependence of the body is a daily affair. Now, I've got to say that's very difficult in this society where we're all so busy. How do we work this out day to day? I don't know that I have all the answers to that, but we've got to seek to be used of the Lord in each other's lives. We cannot neglect the other members of the body. We must share both their pain and their joy. Such interdependence would have saved many a church from a split. Inattention to any member of the body is devastating to that member. People fall away who should really still be part of the body. Seek to connect with each other and care for each other. Maybe if I did a survey, who calls you during the week? We'd find quite a number of you get no call from anyone. You don't see anyone else during the week. You have no contact, only here on Sunday. That's sad. We should be involved in each other's lives. Seek to connect with each other and care for each other, won't you? Try and connect with multiple people during the week. Each week, seek to reach out to someone new. I mean, new to you, not necessarily a new person in the church. Someone with whom you have not connected before. A loving, caring body of Christ. That is my vision for this church. And it's your vision too, isn't it? That's what you want to see. We want this in our lives. But we can't be waiting for the other person to do that to us. We need to be going out and loving them. We're all gifted by the Holy Spirit to build up each other and complete the body. We are gifted and empowered, and when each member is exercising their gift, what blessed power is given by the Lord Himself. Body life is a beautiful and it's a powerful thing. There is a blessed power. Would you make Paul's vision for Corinth your vision for Central Mountains Baptist Church? Let's pray. Father, this is challenging to us. It's easy to read the scriptures and see the vision. It's another thing to live this out in daily life. Oh Lord, help us to love each other, be involved with each other, and care for each other. We pray, Lord, that there'd be no one here who feels left out or unloved or forgotten. I pray, Lord, that we would make an effort to reach out to each other, to be hospitable to each other, to be encouraging to each other, to remember each other, to pray for each other, to love one another, to love one another, to love one another, and to love one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.